Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
What does it say about a team after the onside kick and they score to go ahead? But a lot of teams wouldn't be able to come back just mentally.
That's what we are. When things don't go our way, when adversity hits, we find ways to win for each other. That's it. I think that's been what it's been this year. Offense not scoring, defense shows up. Defense and offense may give up a touchdown. Special teams puts us in good field position. And we kick game winners and things like that. Today, we have to put up a bunch of points to be able to help our brothers. And I think us doing that today builds confidence in those guys on the other side of the ball. Obviously our side, but the other side of the ball, building confidence that they know that we have their back.
Caleb Williams explaining that this is a team sport. And even though the quarterback is the most coveted position, you must win as a team. And the Bears certainly did that today. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls so that way I can hear, I don't know, are you as weary as I am about this team? Are you as, I don't know, I'm like in the gray zone when it comes to this one. But taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Grant, do you got a Grant Leader producing today? Do you have Instagram, Grant?
I do not have Instagram, no.
Okay, because I was looking for you out here. I got this clip that I want you to grab for me.
Okay.
But I don't know where to send it.
You can just send it to me and then I'll grab it. I'll find a way.
I know, but how am I going to send it to you?
Just text it to me. I'll find a way.
Oh, I'll text it to you. That's a good one. You did just text me. Okay, I'm going to send it to you right now. It's a great clip, and it's essentially saying what Caleb said, but it's via one of our favorites, Kyle Long, right? He was on CBS post game and he said the Bears can compete with anyone in the NFL. We'll play. Hey, don't yuck my yum right now, all right?
Well, you're the one that's being so reserved tonight.
And that's why I just said I don't know how to feel, but I know it's not. I'm a little happy still.
I don't know. You saw what the Seahawks just did to the Commanders, and the Bears had a rough time with that game.
You're right. Listen, I. But if the Bears have three drives that last 12 minutes each, I mean, that's what it feels like ends up happening. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. All right, great game from the Bears. Over 500 total yards of offense, 7.5 yards per play, third down efficiency, 58%. They were 7 for 12. Love that. You complaining about the red zone? 5 tutties in 6 appearances. Thought that was great. I thought it was good. Caleb Williams, 20 for 34, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, 53 rushing yards, crucial rushing yards, by the way, and then a catch for a touchdown. Kyle Manungai, 176 yards on the ground. DJ Moore had a tutty and 78 yards on 6 catches, and then Colston Loveland, 6 catches, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just big game for that. But when you're thinking about the 280 yards rushing, the nearly 300 yards passing, that's a nightmare for defensive coordinators. But if they can put up 50 points, it might not matter. So let's go out to the phone line, see what you guys thought about this one. This next caller, one of my favorites. If you're over at the Green Mill up north in Uptown, you're going to see this guy drumming every Sunday night. Of course, I'm talking about my guy, Greg. Greg, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you again.
Hey, good to talk to you, too. I knew I was going to call you tonight, but it was in question because I got involved with the game too much, and they were making me mad. And I said, I'm not calling anybody. I don't even feel like playing tonight. It worked out.
I'm glad you made it to the therapist couch, Greg. But let me ask you this, right? Because it was an emotional roller coaster of a ride. What do you think was the highlight for you, like that made you the happiest? And then what got you the most frustrated? Take me to the highlight, low light.
Okay, forgive me for not being able to pronounce the.
Don't worry, I got
running
you.
Back.
Manungai. Manungai.
Yeah, but it was surprising, a pleasant surprise to see if the starter, you know, that they had somebody if the starter is not making it. I mean, he was a beast today, and that was a pleasant surprise. But I guess the most disturbing is I've always liked Joe Flacco as a quarterback, but the ease that they were able to score.
It's a great word.
On the Bears defense. And that, you know, it's an emotional, like you say, emotional roller coaster with the Bears. And I don't usually get this involved, but now 2 weeks, if they're not paying my bills, I only get so upset. But man, last week and this week, and I was shocked, and I never turned the channel. I finish it, but I turned the channel. Original play when Loveland caught the pass, I was just shocked. And but they won, and that's the team that we have here in Chicago right now. It won't always be like that.
So yeah,
got to take the good with the bad. That's corny, but
no, take the good with the bad. No, that's not corny at all. That's real, Greg. And I think that when you're looking at this team, you're right. There are good takeaways, right? You have a formidable backup running back. That has been proven. Kyle Manungai was worth the 7th-round draft pick. I mean, a lot of people were comparing him to Jacory Merrick-Crosky, the running back from the Washington Commanders, who came out hot in the first couple weeks of the season. He was drafted after Manungai, and then Manungai didn't have the same productivity. So for him to come out there, certainly that. But the point that you bring up that is the biggest and the best is that you cannot let Joe Flacco – listen – Joe Flacco will put up 400 yards and 4 touchdowns on anybody. But if you're the Chicago Bears and you know that's what they're trying to do, there has to be a better game plan for that. And you saw Dennis Allen trying to draw up the blitz, trying to put pressure on him, trying to drop guys back. And it seemed like nothing worked in that instance. So, yes, a professional offense where Joe Flacco has been there for a cup of coffee, literally a couple weeks. But a professional offense will tear you to pieces. This we do know. And so the Bears, every team has things to work on, Greg, that we know for sure. Bears certainly one of those teams as well when it comes to that. But what was the chatter like at the Green Mill when you got there after the game? What was the chatter like?
Well, when we first walk in, I get there before, we start at 8. But I get there, about 7. And so that's when all the workers, are there, and that's when the most talk about the football game. And when I walked in the front door, we're all just shocked, we're all mouth open. And did you see that game? Did you see everybody say, oh, and like you said, we're talking like this, and they're 5-3, but the games I was able to, the whole division was weird today.
Yeah.
The Vikings were in the bottom, but Green Bay lost, Detroit lost. It was just teams that I didn't think would lose today. It was just it was just weird today. But
yeah,
everybody was shocked, and everybody, I gotta say, it's just
They were just happy that they got the victory. You know what I mean, Greg? I appreciate you calling in, man. Hopefully, I get a chance to hear from you next week as well after your gig. But again, listen, Green Mill, when you talk about one of the sexiest places in the city to go take a date or just to go hear some good music, you got a guy now. That's the good thing about 670 The Score when you're listening. Greg just doesn't call me every week. Greg is out there for you too. So if you're
a man of the people,
it's a man of the people. And this is Chicago where everybody has a guy. I always tell people, if you need anything in anything at all, it doesn't matter what it is, I am two people away from finding it. Like, it's all about, you need a plug at the Green Mill? I got Greg the drummer, and now you do too. So make sure you show Greg some love, man. And I can only imagine what the Green Mill was like following that Bears games. Of course, Bears fans are diehard, so you know that they're there and doing well in those situations. So, again, we're taking your phone calls. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. I got you till 5 in the morning. That's when Dustin Rhodes comes on for the pregame show. He's going to be taking care of you with all the detalles, the details for you. Then he hands it off to Mullion Hall. They got two great guests for you. Olin Kreutz jumps on at 7. My favorite postgame analysis happens from Olin Kreutz. Then TJ Edwards, current Chicago Bear linebacker, will be on at 8 o'clock with the fellas. Then Raheemi, Harris, Grody. They have Anthony Heron, who did a fantastic job on Fox 32 yesterday. And then Dan Weider jumps on at 1 o'clock. Spiegel and Holmes got you at 3 with Kurt Warner. And then Chris Emma jumps on as well at 5:25. Of course, he was in Cincinnati covering the game. Some news from Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Of course, he left the game. Because I've told people like Jaden Daniels, I said, Jaden Daniels is not going to be in the league in 3 years. And it's not because he's not great. It's just because he's small. He's a small guy. And when you think you can run, you're RG3. And we all saw what happened to RG3, and it's no different here. After dealing with hamstring issues throughout the first half of the season, Jaden Daniels expected to be out indefinitely after suffering a dislocated left elbow on Sunday. Now, that doesn't sound fun.
No, not fun at all. And that injury, they slowed it down. It's something about over there on the East Coast with gruesome injuries happening on tackles.
Dude.
RG3, him, Theismann.
He's a small
Alex
guy.
Smith.
He's a small guy. You know what I mean? He's a small guy, and
he'll figure it out, though, on the size thing. Because Lamar figured it out, and he was just as lengthy as he was.
I mean, I hope so. I hope. Jaden Daniels seems like a slender guy. I hope so. Because he's a slender guy, and I knew it was going to happen, especially the style of play that he has. It's just conducive to getting injured. It's just, I'm a Derrick Rose fan. I get it. It's like you're small, and you play this like explosive style of football. Guys are just bigger and stronger than you. And then this is what happens. But that's why Lamar has become more of a pocket passer, right? And he's done a great job at it. But it'll be interesting to see. But Jaden Daniels, no one wants to wish injury on anyone. So hopefully he ends up getting healthy and getting back out there soon enough. Because I love seeing battles between him and Caleb Williams. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Tony out in Midway. Tony, Caleb Williams had himself a day. But depending on who you are, you might say it was a bad day or you might say it was a good day. What was it for you?
Okay, so I kind of disagree with what you had mentioned earlier that Ben Johnson doesn't trust Caleb. And I say that only because I think they came out of the bye realizing what they did well, and that's run the ball. So they identified that, and we had to forget. You know, it's easy to remember that Caleb is judged differently because he's the number one pick. But he came into the situation under Eberflus with Shane Waldron, and that was a disaster. He was basically self-coaching himself. So here we are in year two, and he's basically starting over. And it's a new coach. He's a good coach. I trust it. But for the first time in my Bears fandom, I trust that guy.
Trust who, Caleb or Ben Johnson?
I trust Caleb. I mean, he's won the game, what, 3 times now I can think of? I mean, Packers last year, the Raiders this year, and now today. I mean, that was all Caleb. You give that guy the ball with 40 seconds, he can do stuff.
I agree.
I don't know of any other quarterback the Bears have had that could do that.
Consistently, too, Tony.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that.
He has this knack for doing the amazing, and, you know, the completion percentage is down. But, you know, you were just talking about, what's his name in Seattle?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. Like, he was washed up, right? He's lighting it up now. So some guys, it takes a few years to make a click. I think Caleb is going to do it. I think he's going to be a superstar. Why? Because he's got Ben Johnson, and I think that's a good comment.
Okay. A couple things. You know, because you said some, yeah, you made some great points that I actually agree with, right? I do, as a Bears fan, have faith in Caleb Williams, right? Not only to put up points in the last 2 minutes of a half, because I have 100% faith in him to do that, but to also be one of the better quarterbacks that the Bears have seen ever, right? Like, so those two things, true, okay? But when it comes down to my thoughts on Ben Johnson trusting Caleb Williams, you know, you said the Bears came out of the bye week knowing what they do well, which is running the ball. But in the first couple weeks of the season, they couldn't. So to come out of the bye week and say that that's what we do well, I think coming out of the bye week, they realized that they couldn't depend on Caleb Williams to win these games. I think that was more of the realization. And then, you know, I go back, Tony, to the second drive of the game. All right, first drive, 12 plays, gets the touchdown, thank God, right? But then the second drive of the game, and this is, again, we could go over every single drive, but this is the sequence of plays, okay? Run, 13-yard run, 13-yard run, 5-yard penalty, 8-yard run, 2-yard run, 9-yard run, 4-yard run, 0-yard pass, an incompletion, field goal miss, right, with the penalty, run, and then finally a touchdown pass. That doesn't sound like an offense where I'm the coach and I'm saying, I trust Caleb Williams and this is what my, you know, 12-play drive should look like, or 11-play drive for 74 yards because I trust my quarterback. It's more about I have to give the ball to my seventh-round rookie in order to maintain this drive because I can't trust Caleb to get the job done for me consistently. I think that's the indictment right there, right? Where Caleb Williams is good.
I don't know if I think there's shades of both. I honestly think what you're saying is semi-true, but what I'm saying is semi-true too. You know what the definition of a great team is? When the other side knows you're going to run the ball and you still run it down their throat. I think the Bears have identified that. I think they know that they
I got to push back. If you're the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals going into today, you right now, right, Tony, you're the head coach, and you know DeAndre Swift is out, you think the Bears are going to be running the ball? No. You're saying to yourself, but you just said, because I'm trying to go off what you said.
I play fantasy all the time, and I played a lot of a young guy. I mean, I knew they were going to run them because if you look at the stats, they were almost sharing 50-50. I mean, Swift, I don't know if Swift's good. I think he's more of a scat back. He's not really a great run between the tackles. Monongai is, what, 5'9", 210? He's built like a bowling ball. Like, he's that guy that you want to run between the tackles. Like, he's tough.
So I'm confused. Are you saying that Monongai is better than DeAndre Swift?
No. Okay. I'm saying they're two different guys. Okay. They're two different guys. But, you know, they're both capable. I think Swift's capable of making the spectacular happen, whereas Monongai will give you those 10 tough yards. You know, it's exactly what Ben Johnson did in Detroit. He had, you know, lightning and nails or whatever they call themselves. You know, Gibbs was the flash guy.
Yeah.
And then they had
Sonic and whatever the other guy's
name
is.
Sonic and nails or whatever. He needs the flash and he needs the hammer. Well, I think we found the hammer. But everything is predicated on the run and his offense. You have to do the play action off the run. So,
yeah,
it'll evolve. You know, Caleb will get better. But I just trust the coaching process. He didn't have that last year.
Yeah, so, I hear you, Tony. And thanks for the call because, you know, it does keep me honest in terms of, you know, what my assessment of this game was. Which, and I'm going to hold true and stand by it, and you can go watch the game back again. Ben Johnson wanted to lean on Caleb Williams, but could not, and had to lean on his seventh-round rookie instead. To me, that's the takeaway from the game, right? Where Caleb Williams, you should be winning games because of Caleb Williams, not because of Kyle Monongai. Do you see what I'm saying, Tony? Like, that's the part that I'm trying to say. And we can't say that the Bears have identified themselves as a running team. But you didn't know what you were going to get with Kyle Monongai. He'd never started a game before in his life. So, again, your game plan going in couldn't have been – I don't take Ben Johnson to be that stubborn to say, listen, Kyle Manunga is our guy, and I like to run the ball, so therefore he's... No, I don't think that was what it was. And Kyle Manunga is going to rush the ball for 26 times or whatever, you know, 26 times, yeah. Ben Johnson did not think he was going to rush Kyle Manunga 26 times today.
I think the backfield in Detroit with Gibbs and Montgomery is just a little bit different than the backfield of Swift and Manunga.
Just a little
bit. So just a little bit different.
And I would like... Maybe, Grant, you could take some time and check this out. Like, have either of those running backs, David Montgomery or Gibbs, have either of them ever ran the ball 26 times?
I'll take a look.
I would bet the under on that. That neither of those two guys have rushed the ball for 26 times in a Ben Johnson offense. And I get because they split the carries, but there's been games where one or the other was out. And I'd be interested to see, you know, what that looks like. Again, maybe I'm being a downer on Caleb Williams. That's what I'm picking up. That's what Tony's making me realize. Maybe I'm being a downer on Caleb Williams. And I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to do my job as a sports analyst and tell you what I saw and analyze it. And I saw a coach that said, you know what? I'd rather run the ball with Kyle Manunga than drop back with Caleb Williams, who can't seem to throw on time, and take that route of what that could potentially look like. Maybe with a pre-snap penalty, maybe with a hold, maybe with an errant pass. But that's what I saw from Ben Johnson. I'm curious what you thought. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, thanks for hanging out, man. I appreciate you for holding, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, I'm back. Two things I don't want to hear. One is that the Packers are going to sniff the Super Bowl. And two, is anyone being ungrateful for who we have at QB? And at coach, too, but that's a given. You always have a chance to win and win close games with this offense. The chemistry and synergy is getting hot. I will say that this is probably the umpteenth time where the other team's fans are calling their radio shows like, no, our pass rush was phenomenal. And my goodness, that's clearly the only thing that the Bengals D had today. I'm sure they're livid over there, but with our D, the injuries have been handicapping us, but we did go up against four legends, what with Joe Flacco, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Ted Karras, the offensive lineman. They say that Chauncey Garner-Johnson, he's not going to last more than 2 to 3 games on the squad, but, like, we need him. And some might say, well, this team isn't big enough for him and Tyreek Stevenson, but that kind of thing seems to be working out in Golden State, what with Draymond and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's a good take. It's a good take there, Ryan, and I like what you said at the beginning, right? Don't be ungrateful with the quarterback that we have in the present. When you look at this game as a whole, though, Ryan, right, when you're thinking about all four quarters, is this who the Bears are, or do you feel like – you know, we can experience a different iteration of this Bears team before the season is over?
It is absolutely not who the Bears are. These Bengals games are like, they're kind of like a SEC or like a Pac-12 game. It's just not natural. Like all the scoring, like the 40-something games. But like, you know, there's still stuff to take out of it. I think the special teams, like it's really breaking down there. We could use like an ace, like a Sherrick McManus or a Matthew Slater. Remember those guys?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then Kyle Manunga, like, he's next. Like, he's next. Like, we had Gale Sayers, Walter Payton, Matt Forte, and now Kyle Manunga. Like, I could just feel it. He's next.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good take. I mean, he certainly overperforming, you know, than whatever I thought he was going to be able to do in the league. I just, you know, seventh round running back's tough. But this is why people don't put such a premium on the position, right? Because you can find somebody in the seventh round that can get you 176 yards on 26 carries. You can find someone like that, which is crazy. I'm trying to think of the direction, Ryan, of this Bears team, right? If you're Ben Johnson and you've seen another performance like this, and then you know next week you got the Giants at home, you gotta be frustrated that your team after 9 weeks hasn't played to its potential, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so, but, you know, I think things are starting to really gel a little bit more. Like week one, week two, you can see we were just kind of lost, and then things just keep getting stronger. And I actually told Screener, like, I'm excited for that game against the Packers, because by then, like, it's late, and we're going to have our best stuff. They'll be bringing their best stuff. And, you know, they've been fraudy lately. I knew they would lose to the Panthers. Okay, no, I didn't. But, you know.
No, yeah. I don't think anybody did. Yeah. But they certainly have qualities that you can look at where some people would say there were deficiencies. But, Ryan, I appreciate the phone call as always. Look forward to talking to you next week as well, all right?
Yep, see you.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Hanging out with you till 5 a.m. and taking your phone calls as well. A lot of good things from this one, right? 47 points. Jesus. Jesus. Like, 47 points. Okay, I know you got the stat for me, and I'm really curious before we go to break. Grant Leader producing today. I asked the question, had Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery ever ran the ball for 26 attempts under a Ben Johnson-led offense? What's the answer?
So David Montgomery had 32 attempts against Green Bay at Lambeau Field in 2023. I believe that was a win for the Lions, I want to say. Probably not. I think the Lions started like 1-6 that year in 2023. But he had 32 attempts, and he also had 32 attempts matching his career high in 2020 with the Bears when they went up to Minnesota to play the Vikings.
Okay.
And then Jahmyr Gibbs has rushed 26 times attempt-wise, but that was his rookie year as well in 2023, and that was against the Raiders.
Okay, so but it's proven my point.
It's happened like one or two times.
It's proven my point. That never happens. And Kyle Manunga, his first time out. This is Jahmyr Gibbs' rookie year. Played him two more years under Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
David Montgomery, same thing.
Yeah.
And it never sniffed 26 carries. And Kyle Manunga gets 26. Why? Because he didn't feel comfortable calling dropbacks, 44 of them, for Caleb Williams. That's
I just love we're putting Kyle Manunga up in the stature with the Gale Sayers and the Walter Paytons. Hey. You know,
it's what Ryan said. He's next.
Let's throw him in with Thomas Jones, Cedric Benson, Matt Forte. Let's throw him in with all of them.
After one start.
You know? Put it on a trophy case.
We love our backups. That's for sure. All right, Antoine, I see you on hold. Going to get to you after the break. Want to take your calls as well when you're thinking about this Bears game. 47-42, Bears get the victory. They are 5-3 on the season. Caleb Williams, 20 for 34, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But what are the takeaways for you on this one, right? We know what the Bears could have done better. We know that. That was the question for last week. But when you're thinking about the remainder of the season, there's only 9 games left. When you're thinking about those last, like, what are the takeaways for you from this last game? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls on the other side. Again, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local till 5 a.m. right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Is this the actual ball?
Yeah, I don't know which one it is. No?
I was wondering how you ended up with it.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Mom will like this one.
What time you had a game-winning touchdown?
That might be the first one. Maybe high school. Yeah.
Coast and Loveland talking about his game-winning touchdown right there in the locker room. Bears get the victory, 47-42. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 a.m. That's when our guy Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. I got to be honest. Dustin, obviously the executive producer of Mully and Haw, but the pregame show, like, I'll be watching. One of my favorite things to do, you know, I've worked with a lot of people in my day, right? Shared the stage with a lot. I always try to take something from everyone. Grant, you should do the same. Grant Leader producing today.
Gotcha. We'll do.
You should always take like a nugget from every person you work with and try to like, you know, be like Thanos that has the Infinity Stones. Very clear. I am not a comic book person. That was just like I just pulled that out of left field, but that is not something I truly believe in. But it's kind of like that. I see the reference where you got to pull something from everybody and then kind of create who you are. And with Dustin Rhodes, his attention to detail during the pregame show, like I'll do a whole 5-hour show. Dustin will get on the first 5 minutes and say something I didn't say the whole 5 hours. It happens every single time. So great stuff right there. Make sure you're checking him out. Then, of course, Mully and Haw got some great guests lined up for you. Of course, they got Olin Krutz coming on at 7. And then, of course, TJ Edwards at 8. Raheem Harris and Grody have Anthony Herron at 11. Dan Reeder at 1. Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner at 3, and Chris Emma at 5:25. But right now I got you, right? The Bears fan that's up this late, ready to talk Bears, and that's what we've been doing for you. Live and local right here on 670 The Score. So let's go out to the phones. Antoine, on the South Side, appreciate you holding on for me, man. What thoughts you got on your mind? I'm ready for them.
Oh, man. First, guys, everybody relax, man. We had a great win. We got to put up front. The red zone wasn't a problem today. Your man was in his bag. I mean, if you want to say Caleb didn't play good as you thought, but Caleb was the man today. You seen Caleb do some stuff you ain't never seen. So, I'm going to say this. We definitely got to do something about the defense right now. I hope we can get some players back. But this was an all-out bitter, get mad, you want the win. This is Caleb's stuff. This is what Caleb does. Caleb showed me today that he's ready. He is ready.
What is he ready for, Antoine? What is he ready for?
Oh, man, he ready to have that MVP season, man. I'm telling you guys. You know, let me ask y'all something. Y'all, everybody was saying, Jalen Daniels, he's better than Caleb. Look, man, that boy gets hurt every 5 minutes. Now, this is second year. How many times he's been hurt? He was hurt last year. Caleb, he's like a little rubber band. He gets right back up, even though he falls awkward for some reason. But other than that, the kid is all right. Now, let's talk about the running back.
Oh, Kyle Manungai. Yeah.
Kyle Manungai got a steal. We got a steal. That's a little bull. Look, I knew he ran hard. But you know he remind me of? Beast mode. When you just go hit the hole, and then you just say, oh, he's steady going. Well, look at this
guy. Are we comparing Kyle Manungai to Marshawn Lynch? I was just making sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Marshawn, hey, look, you get 150 yards running on your first day.
You're right. You're right. That's a great point. That's a great point. Antoine, listen, I'll say this, man. I am really happy in the direction that the Chicago Bears are going, right? Because they're not playing great football, but they're winning games. So, and I know most games in the NFL are tight, but if the Bears can win games like this in the present, it makes you feel good about the future when they do figure things out. When it is year two in Ben Johnson's offense, when they have formidable players in specific areas of need or create the necessary depth that they need on defense in order to, you know, not give up 42 points against the Bengals. But it does make you feel good about Caleb Williams, right, being the leader of this team. It makes you feel good about Ben Johnson being the right head coach for the Chicago Bears. There are things you can point to that make you feel good about this squad.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Gabe, one more thing, man. It's look at, like you said, year two will be better. But I want to go try to everybody, get offensive line some credit. They are beasting people out there. The schemes that Ben Johnson is putting up for the run game, it's unbelievable. I was look at this. Bears are used to losing good, dumb games. Now you're winning the dumb game. Now you're showing everybody you can play with everybody, anybody in this league. Look, Detroit, I don't know what happened. Green Bay, I don't know what happened. That's why I was trying to tell people Caleb is the best quarterback in that division. You might not see him now, but he is.
I mean, that's the hope.
Grow into it.
The hope is that he is. I mean, you know what I mean? Especially by the end of his career, you want him to be that. There are certain things he has to work on still in order to get to that level. Right? When you think about Jared Goff completing, you know, I don't even know what he went for today, but he's a very consistent quarterback that gets the ball out quickly. You know, Jordan Love has a lot of weapons. Could be, you know, Caleb is like, well, what I will say is I feel like Caleb is already there, right? Where I don't necessarily, I can't make a clear cut argument for him being better than Jordan Love and obviously, you know, the other quarterbacks right now in the present, Jared Goff, but I think he's there already. I think he's comparable to them, where that maybe in a year or two more, you can then make the argument that he'll be better. But so tell me, before you get out of here, tell me about the ceiling for the Chicago Bears in your mind. What is that for you, Antoine?
Let me tell y'all this. Bears is going to make the playoffs this year. You might remember when I said it. I don't know what's this, the third of November. Look, let me tell you why. The games that I'm seeing now, people are getting injured. Jalen, he probably out. We're going to be able to slide in. I think the Bears is going to win the next three games. Easy. So that's going to put us in position for a wild card. I'm going to say wild card and first round exit, man. I ain't going to go crazy now. I'm not going to go crazy, Gabe. But I see the playoffs. I see we snipped
okay.
the playoffs.
Okay. I'm not mad at the P word. You know what I mean? It's not too bad. I know did you have a Bulls thought as well, Antoine? I know we were doing Bears, but you want to sneak that in? You know I love my Bulls.
I just want to say I'm proud of my Bulls, my baby Bulls. Them the real baby Bulls now. And when you get Kobe back, we see me better. But look, man, let me tell y'all something. I used to hate the coach. I used to be like, man, this coach sucks.
Billy Donovan? Hall of Fame what? Billy Donovan?
In college.
Yes, I'm sorry. Hey, you look, I'm sorry, y'all. I used to think he sucked. I was like, man, this guy don't know how to coach himself out of bag. But I'm starting to believe in the Bulls' dream. Because I just seen our backcourt from the last 4 years. Can't do nothing with the new Bulls. So I'm just like, okay, maybe Billy and them got something going on. So go my Bulls and definitely go my Bears. And Gabe, you have a great night, man. Keep the show going, man. I appreciate you.
Always, Antoine. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. We can go ahead and have a chat about this Bears game. You can sit on therapist Gabe's couch because a lot of people need to let these feelings off of their chest like Antoine. And, you know, before we talk more Bears, shout out the Bulls. You know, starting 5-0, young team, Billy Donovan getting them playing right. I'm telling you right now, it goes Bulls, Bears, then White Sox. That's how my order of operations for teams.
Right.
So I do love the Bulls the most. I watch games like a true fan, but I do cover them on CHSN as well. And the Bulls, like when Coby White comes back, Isaac Okoro is going to find himself on the far end of that bench.
The Bulls, I just would love to see more production from the bench. Because
the bench.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, in a long-term scheme, because if you see the teams that are performing in deep into April and into May, you got the teams like the Knicks, you got the teams, I mean, look what the Pacers did last year with that bench too. Benedict Mathurin coming off the bench, and then I think it was game three, he led the team in scoring in the fourth quarter or something like that. Like, if the Bulls have a deep bench going into March and April, they can make that push. I love it. I would love it.
Push for what, Grant? What are you talking
about? Push for anything up from the play-in.
Okay. I was going to say. I think they have a deep team. They have no superstar. The funniest thing we said last week on CHSN, the Chicago lead, was if you were trying to stop one person on the Bulls, who is that person?
I mean, Kobe, but like after that.
You can't name the person because they've had like a different player leading the team in scoring for the first five games. It was interesting. Anyway, shout out the Bulls. We're not talking Bulls right now, but shout out the Bulls. If you want to hear me talking Bulls, Chicago Sports Network, the Chicago lead, 6 p.m. today. I'll be on with David Hall And I believe today I'm on with Ruthie Polinsky, I think. So the three of us will be on a little bit later today. But right now we're talking Bears. Bears defeat the Cincinnati Bengals 47-42. I am Gabe Ramirez. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. It starts with me. I'm live and local all the way till 5 a.m. Shout out to everybody that's watching on TikTok as well. And then I hand it off to Dustin Rhodes with the pregame show. He leads you into Mully and Haw, who have Olin Krutz and TJ Edwards at 7-8. Raheemy Harris and Grody have Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11-1. And then Spiegel and Holmes, they have Kurt Warner and Chris Emma at 3-525, respectively. But let's go back out to the phone lines. I want to hear from you guys. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Mike out in Northwest Indiana. Mike, if you go check my Twitter, at Gabe Ramirez, all right, you follow me, I'll follow you back. That goes for anybody that's listening right now. The first thing I tweeted out today was the Bears have the worst kickoff coverage in the NFL. And I had been saying it on this show for the last couple of weeks that every time the Bears kick the ball off, the opposing team starts on like the 35 or 40-yard line. Never are they and then what happens when the Bears get the kickoff after the touchdown? I was watching my father-in-law. He's like, watch the Bears not get out to the past the 23. Literally didn't make it to the 23-yard line. It's like every other team has this new kickoff structure figured out. I don't even think, has there been? Okay, another task for you, Grant Leader, producing today.
It's all good.
Was that the first kickoff for a touchdown this season in the NFL?
All right, I'm on it.
Because I feel like I have not seen that from anybody else. But you know what? Mike, now I just went on my rant. But Mike, I know you feel the same way about this special teams for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. First of all, Gabe, I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, brother.
You make my drive into work at 2 a.m. every morning worth it. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
You know, I don't have any statistics in front of me, but I feel like the eye test is something that I can use to try and figure out how does Richard Hightower still have a job, man? I mean, the onside kick at the end of the game, how does nobody from the Bears fall on that ball, number one? The opening kickoff there, even going back to last season when, and as much as we don't want to talk about Eberflus being here, the blocked field goal at the end of the game last year that cost the Bears a game. I know this guy's a you hear about all of his interviews and he's a great guy and he's fun to talk to and all this. He might be a fun guy, but I feel like the special teams, you know, you need all three phases, especially the Bears can't afford to give up one of the phases of the game. And that's exactly, you know, you don't trust their special teams at all.
At all. I mean, there's so many things you could point to. And I like Richard Hightower, Mike. I actually do. I have no problem with him. But, you know, because I think about special teams and I'm like, you know, am I going to blame the special teams coordinator because they got Travis Homer, a running back, trying to be a gunner and stop, you know, these guys on the other side? Or, you know, they got, you know, Hardy, or, you know, they just lost Dominique Robinson on kickoff. Like, why is Dominique Robinson on kickoff, right? Like, you need guys that don't care about their own health and that just want to risk their, like, those guys, the guys that just love football, you know? And I feel like on the kickoff coverage, we just don't have guys that are doing that. It was embarrassing to let that kickoff happen on the very first play of the game. The onside kick was embarrassing because you saw Hardy blocking when he didn't necessarily need to. The ball hadn't even gone 10 yards. It was just, it was that if you were trying to point out frustrating areas for the Chicago Bears, special teams was definitely one of them. And then, Mike, what about that field goal kick from Cairo Santos when everybody thought it got blocked and he just muffed it? What about that one?
It looked like a knuckleball. I don't get, you know, and Cairo, he comes through, I feel like, from time to time. But Moody was on a roll. I don't understand why that switch needed to be made. Moody seemed to be settling in just fine. His teammates were rallying around him. I'm not saying they don't like Cairo, but, you know, at this point, I feel like Moody was there. Leave Moody where he's at. Let's see where this goes. I'm just concerned at some point in time while we talk about, you know, a possible playoff push here, which I'm hoping happens.
Agreed.
This special team is going to cost us, and I hope it doesn't flash back to the Nagy era, right? the double doink. I hope we don't go back there because our special teams let us down.
Yeah, and I'll say this, Mike. The reason why Jake Moody isn't getting that start is because Cairo Stansel still has 2 years and $8 million left on his deal. He signed a four-year, $16 million contract in December of 23. So he's still got a couple more years left. So I'm sure the Bears just don't want to eat that money. You wanted someone that and don't forget, Cairo Stansel had like the best field goal percentage at Soldier Field or something like that and over the last couple seasons. I mean, it was something like that. Anyway, the fact of the matter is Jake Moody comes in. Thank God he hit all them field goals. But the last thing you want to do is have a Tyson Bagent situation where you get rid of Cairo Santos. He goes to another team. You're still paying him. And then Jake Moody has the yips again like he had with San Francisco, right? I mean, his percentages were very low in San Fran, which is why Kyle Shanahan cut him in the first place. But again, the last thing you want to worry about, Mark, is your special teams costing you games in certain situations. Unfortunately, it didn't come down to that. In this last game where not only, you know, did he miss that field goal that could have been extremely costly, but he could have put the Bears in a tough situation. But I like talking to you. I don't want to talk to you about the special teams. I want to talk to you about Caleb Williams. I want to talk to you about, you know, not Kyle Manunga either. I want to talk to you about the defense and what you felt like was missing. Like, what did you think of our boy CD, our own very own CD playing defense and filling in for Kyler Gordon, Mike? What did you think about him?
So, you know what, I was only able to see parts of the game today. I'm hoping to watch the replay of it later, but listening on the radio, the one thing that they talked about was him already jawing with the other team and trying to get in their heads. When it's happening for my team, man, let's do it. I'm in. You got to get under somebody's skin. You look back a couple years ago when our tight end was punching him in the face when he didn't need to.
That's a whole different one. Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that was Javon Wims.
Snatched his chain
and then punched him, which is really stupid, right? You're punching a football player with a helmet. I don't even want to go down that path. But I'll tell you this. When it comes to Gardner Johnson, he reminded me of Pat Bev when Pat Bev got to the Bulls 2 years ago and the Bulls didn't have any toughness. And I remember him telling Zach LaVine, like, dude, you need to shoot the ball. You're the man. Like, he basically was giving other guys confidence because he was so physical and so imposing. And I feel like that's what Gardner Johnson was yesterday. I don't know if you were watching it closely. And obviously, Mike, you didn't get a chance to watch it, so I can fill you in. There were moments where Gardner Johnson was in the face of Tremaine Edmonds, in the face of Tyreek Stevenson, in the face of a couple of other Bears players, but hyping them up. Like, that's right. That's what I'm talking about, boy. You already know. Yeah. Like, that kind of hype. Like, You love trash talkers when they're on your team because they do hype you up. Like, sometimes you might be a bit subtle and you don't want to be boisterous. And here comes Gardner Johnson. Talk that. I wish I could curse. Talk that ish. Go ahead. It's good. You the man. And you're like, yeah, baby, that's right. I am the man. I'm TJ Edwards. I'm Tremaine Edmonds. Like, and the Bears didn't have that on defense because that person was Tyreek Stevenson. But then the Bears had to, like, not muffle him, but he got in his own way where he then didn't have enough reserves to talk trash because people were like, man, shut up. You let the Hail Mary land. So I don't want to hear from you anymore. Where Gardner Johnson is now taking on that role of agitator and wants to elevate you based off of that. I don't know. I really like it. I'm going to take one more call. Let's go out to Mark in Richmond. Mark, good to talk to you again. What were your thoughts on Kyle Manunga? What a game by the Bears rookie running back.
It was, but too bad that Cincinnati didn't have a defense that could stop anybody. And it was really kind of sad on our side of the ball for defense, where you get a 40-plus-year-old quarterback who's been washed up, can't run, couldn't scramble, and we didn't get to him. We got to him, but we didn't get to him enough, and we gave up so many points today on a defense that just looked horrible. And you guys want to go, say, playoffs? It's kind of sad. The offense looked wonderful. I'm glad that we were able to do what we did. The trick plays were fun to watch. It was a good game to watch, but it was also horrible. They gave up 80 points combined, over 80 points combined. The running back, he ran hard. He pushed the pile. He did. I give that man all the credit in the world. I'm glad he was able to do what he did, because if we would have had to survive on Caleb's arm alone, we wouldn't have won that game.
I agree, but I want to do a little activity with you, Mark, real quick. I'm going to say a team name. You tell me win or loss, okay? You ready? Mm-hmm. It's like a rapid response thing, all right? So, Giants.
Win.
Okay, Vikings.
Toss up, but I'm going to say we win.
Okay, Steelers.
Lose.
Eagles.
Loss.
Packers.
I can't stand the Packers. I'm going with my heart. Win.
Okay, Browns.
Loss. Their defense is too good.
Stop it. Dylan Gabriel's not going to beat the Chicago Bears, but I'll give you the loss. All right, Packers again.
I can't stay in Green Bay. Win.
I love this game. 49ers.
Loss.
Loss to the Niners? All right, and then the Lions.
Yep. I'm going to say we get them.
Okay, because they'll probably be benching people. Okay, based off of that little activity right there, you have the Bears at 10-7.
That's a playoff team.
That's what I picked them this year, too.
That's a playoff team. That's a playoff team, Mark. I don't know. You don't want to say the P word.
It is a playoff team. I'm not gonna deny that. But five of those wins are a team that can't even get to 500 and are below 500.
All right. I hear what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Mark.
With three of them teams don't have a defense or an offense.
You're right. And it'll be interesting to see what the Bears do on Sunday against the Giants, because that'll be something else. I don't know, man. Bears are 5-3. I can muster up 5 wins. Giants, Vikings, Browns, Niners. That's 4 right there. And just give me one of the Lions, 2 Packers, Eagles, Steelers. Just steal one game, Caleb. That's what your job is for the rest of the season, Caleb. You cannot lose all 5 of those games. Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Lions. You cannot lose all 5 of them. If you do, then you are who we thought you were. A guy that's going to be 60% from the thing. I talked about this last week, and this got people going. Grant, you weren't here. I said after last week's game against the Ravens, and you could say the same about yesterday's game against the Bengals, I still think Caleb Williams is going to be good. I still think he has a lot of room to grow. However, the ceiling in which I thought he could reach, that ceiling after the Ravens game and certainly after this game yesterday, the ceiling has just gone down just a little bit.
I don't know about that, because I've seen a lot of people struggle their first couple years. Like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning.
What do you think the ceiling was? Let's just say before the season started, ceiling on Caleb Williams. Ceiling? Give me. Hold on. Here's the metric. Top what quarterback?
I would say he would finish in the conversation of top 12 quarterback.
Oh, dude. Yeah, of course. That's what I was saying. He's already top 15 right now.
Top 15 for sure.
So I'm talking about ceiling. What was his ceiling for you at the beginning of the season? Top 12? That was your ceiling?
Top 12. Then that's not top 10.
I had higher hopes for Caleb Williams.
Okay.
When I thought ceiling for Caleb Williams, I thought like top three quarterback was a ceiling for him. Like you could be that good. Like once Lamar Jackson goes away, you could be a top three quarterback in 5 years. My ceiling dipped for Caleb Williams. Well, now I just want you, like you said, I just want you to be a top 10 quarterback. Like now if you could just be a top 10, I'll be okay with that.
Honestly, especially with the new system that he's learning, his second year, if he finished top 10 this year, that would have been great. He can move into it. Like, look what Jared Goff did his first couple years. Struggle a little bit, then picked it up.
Yeah, and that's what we want. And I want you guys to pick it up as well. But I'm talking about the phone, ready to take some of your calls. 312-644-6767. Takeaways from this Bears game. Do you envision a season where the Bears make the playoffs? I'm curious if a game against the Cincinnati Bengals has you feeling that same way. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Your calls next at 312-644-6767.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.